This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell. A program for and about America's 78 million baby boomers. Here's your host, Freddie Bell.
Hi, everyone. This is New Beginnings. I am Freddie Bell. Glad you're with us today. And coming up on the show, many of our favorite partners, including Leibel Sternbach is here, Joe McKenzie, and friends from AARP Minnesota. All this plus the words to the wise on New Beginnings. And our program is underway right now. Thank you for joining us this week on New Beginnings. The White House is creating a permanent pandemic office. Just a few days ago, it was announced that Air Force Major General Paul Fredericks will lead the Office of Pandemic Preparedness and Response beginning August 7th. Fredericks previously coordinated all health services at the Pentagon, including the military's COVID-19 response. Here in Minnesota, the number of deaths in the state linked to the COVID-19 virus is still hitting record lows. State health officials are saying 40 deaths related to COVID-19 were reported in Minnesota just in June. That's the lowest monthly total since March of 2020. That's when the pandemic first started. That's really good news for Minnesotans and people around the country. Minnesota officials say while they like to see such a low number, they're still bracing for an uptick after many public gatherings throughout the state linked to the 4th of July and other July events. But those reports won't be seen until later next month. This is New Beginnings. I'm Freddie Bell. Stay with us. We have more on the way. Hi again, everybody. I'm Freddie Bell, and this is New Beginnings, Appointed Listening. So glad that you're with us. We have a lot of great things to cover with you this weekend, and joining us now is Mr. Joe McKenzie. He founded Ripple Connects. I don't recall. How many years ago has it been now, Joe McKenzie?
It's almost 10 years ago.
10 years ago, and you turn candidates into contenders. You can reach Joe McKenzie at 763-438-1621. Hello, and welcome back, Mr. McKenzie.
Thank you, Freddie Bell. How are you today?
Unbelievable. And look, this is our time to delve into the book, Words of the Wise. Where are you taking us this week?
Well, as always, I take a page and I spend 3-4 days reflecting upon it. And it's been very helpful for me in my career. So thank you, Freddie. This daily affirmation turns into a project or just kind of that thought process for me to, okay, maybe I've got to, this week, trust your instincts, the knowing. Mm-hmm. And those are your words to the wise. And I often think about how I've made good career decisions and I've made not so good career decisions. When I think about it, Freddie, I've trusted my instincts more than I can count. But there are times where I leaped when I didn't give it as much thought and didn't feel like I knew enough. And that did result in sometimes not a great career move, but my instincts, I think I've developed them over the years, Freddie, for, the type of culture, the type of people I want to work with, the type of mission I want to be a part of. Mm-hmm. And I've used that in my career to help me make good decisions. How have you utilized, trusting your instincts in your career?
Well, it becomes a process, much like what you're talking about. We hear the word meditate. And when we think about meditating, I think for some it brings up the vision of a Buddha, and you're sitting cross-legged with your hands pressed together, eyes tightly shut, and you're blocking out the world. That's a form of it. But I think the intuition has to be cultivated. Your instinct has to be cultivated. It's like, every spring, we were talking about spring last week when we got together, that at beginning of springtime, and I'm thinking about baseball, what do professional teams always do at the beginning of a season?
They train. They hone their skills that they may have lost over the winter.
That's right. They go back to the basics. And that's a lot of what we should be doing or think about anyway with regard to developing our instinct. We go back to the basics. You mentioned meditating. So maybe we've developed the skill of meditating over time. Maybe we're new to it. But the idea is to hold that thought, whatever it is in your mind of a positive nature, toward the goal of whatever it is that you're seeking. And so in that way, it helps you to develop the instinct. Your mind is open. You're open and receptive to the ideas that come to you. And then it makes it easier for you to take a chance on following on your gut, that knowing. And I figured out over time, Joe, that the instinct, it doesn't necessarily just hit you once. You can define it pretty easily when that same thought keeps coming again and again and again. And it's so persistent that you know, you begin to know that you know that this is the right path to take or the right person to contact or the right move to make, whether it's your career or just simply just trying to get along in life.
Mm-hmm. So taking that time, and if that same thought keeps coming back, you know, and you're keeping this in a positive light. You're looking at a new career move or an opportunity you want to seize, and you have that same thought that's reoccurring because you're allowing yourself time to meditate, to reflect, to let it, you know, absorb. And that's what you learn about yourself in, you know, from your previous career decisions using your instincts, right? That's kind of what I hear you saying.
Exactly.
That's the process you follow that's worked for you.
You've been through a lot of things over time. Some people are just getting out of college. There are people who are more seasoned. Mm-hmm. And we bring with us, no matter where we are, we bring with us our experiences. And in those experiences, we can find a lot of ways to run from something, a lot of reasons to avoid something. But the pathway toward a goal is a bit more narrow. And while you have all these signposts when you're trying to run that say, danger, 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 don't you do this, this could happen, there are fewer that tell us that we're on the right path. And because there are fewer, they become to be more repetitive. You hear those thoughts, those intuitions over and over and over again. The other thing I would say, you know, this is springtime, I would say spend time outside, physically outside, whether it's 15 minutes, 10 minutes, but if you do it proactively with the idea of getting in touch with yourself, getting in touch with the universe, that is so valuable, Joe McKenzie.
Yeah, and that's taking a long walk, not, you know, being in front of a screen, just, you know, absorbing that vitamin D from the sun, seeing something that's put you in a relaxed state to help you with that positive thought process that you have going. You're absolutely right, Freddie. And I think, you know, maybe that is the simplest way for somebody today to start realizing I have been doing that, or I have to carve out more time. I have to allow to hold that thought. And why is it coming? And the question, why does it keep coming back to me?
Mm-hmm.
I think that is something that's you sharing that today. I think, you know, someone hearing that probably has experienced that before.
It's really interesting. And we spend a lot of time, we make appointments, we fill up our calendar to be on somebody else's schedule, but we rarely spend that time and make appointments with ourselves to spend even 15 minutes. We'll spend 30 minutes with someone, we'll spend an hour with someone, but you end up the day and you end up the week and you haven't spent meaningful time with yourself. And you mentioned it, that was my next point, do a technology fast. Turn off the phone. Even, you know, it's amazing, even if it's only 15 minutes of being divorced from your phone, your technology, your computer, your iPad, your Google Docs, and all the rest of it, it really forces you to be in touch with yourself. And then when you're in touch with yourself, my last idea is just to ask your intuition a question. Is this the right way? What is the best path for me? What will happen when I do this? And just let you just sit and wait for the answer. And the answer always comes. It's mm-hmm. not a big like newspaper flashes or a big banner on a smartphone or what have you, but it comes and is really clear because, as I mentioned at the outset, you get that repetitive message over and over and over again.
See, that that is very helpful. It was helpful for me 4 years ago when I was looking to take over a nonprofit, and I came to you, but only after a few weeks of thinking about this opportunity and reflecting upon that opportunity. And I think I came to you in a state of, my thought process was, this is going to be a good experience for me. This is going to be a challenge for me. And I remember sitting down with you in your office, and you said, Joe, I think you've made your decision. I can just feel it, that you've given enough thought to this. And here I am 4 years later, not regretting taking that opportunity and feeling proud that I accomplished things that even just 4 years ago, I didn't think I could. And so when you framed it that way, Freddie, I started to think about 4 years ago before I came to you. And you're right. I think I had made up my mind, but only after a couple of weeks of really thinking about, what am I going to gain from this? What's the best path for me? The best path for Joe McKenzie was to gain this valuable experience and to challenge myself with something new. And I have no regrets. So I just want to thank you. You were that one person.
Wow.
That I turned to. And I remember you, I was sitting down in your office, and you just said, I think you've given it enough thought, and I think your instincts are telling you the right direction.
Well, bravo, and thank you for that. Unexpected, but I'm really excited for you, Joe. And before we have to leave, I'll just reiterate the point, and I'll add one more to think about. Number one, meditate a little bit, not necessarily with a meditation, but reflect. Spend some time outside in the outdoors. Whether, you know, we could get another cold snap, who knows, but spend some time outside, 5, 10, 15 minutes. Turn off the technology for 10 or 15 minutes, two or three times a week, and trust, ask your intuition a question. Which is the best way? Be really intentional about asking that question, and then count your blessings by just writing down, just journaling, writing down where you've gone, where you intend to go, and then close it. You don't even have to look at it again, but something happens magically. I call it magically when you write down what's going on in your mind, even if it's just a couple of notes, wonderful things start to happen and you become even more intuitive. Unfortunately, Joe, we have to leave it right there. Do you have a final thought?
I just want to thank you for giving me the book that has allowed me to refine some of the things that you helped me with a few years ago, but just something that I can use daily and then share it with the New Beginnings listeners, I think is important, because we've all been there and we have to know how to trust our instincts. And how do we do that?
All right, Joe, you do some fine work at Ripple Connects.
Yes, we do. We turn candidates into contenders.
And this is New Beginnings. Thank you for listening to New Beginnings. First is National Lipstick Day. Get out your favorite color and color those lips on National Lipstick Day. It's also Rain Day. This is a day that if there's been a drought in your community, it's a day to dance and to make it rain. Also, it's International Tiger Day, but it's not outdone by National Chicken Wing Day. And finally, is National Lasagna Day. So you can combine your chicken wings with lasagna. Hope it doesn't rain. Look out for the tigers and put on your favorite lipstick. We have a lot more coming up on New Beginnings. Stay with us.
This is a news-oriented broadcast, and all information is educational in nature, is not intended to be legal, securities, tax, or insurance advice. Please consult with the appropriate professional before acting on information heard during the broadcast.
You're listening to New Beginnings.
New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Now is my favorite time of the program, when we turn our attention to talk finance with Label Sternbach. Label is an amazing author. He is the Amazon best-selling author of Living with Financial Anxiety and Authenticity. And you strive, as I can tell, Label, to take the anxiety out of living with financial issues. Hello and welcome back.
Hey, how are you doing today?
Unbelievable. So glad to be with you. And we had a really robust conversation the last time we were here, and now let's expand on that, if you don't mind. I'm wondering, Label, if you could tell us, and this was beneficial the last time we talked. We want to talk about estate planning, as we mentioned in wills. What is estate planning? Is it a misnomer when we say estate planning?
Yeah, I I think that you're spot on that, right? I think calling it an estate plan makes people think of, you know, these grand old estates from like people had in the early 1900s, right? You go out and have mansions and palaces and whatever. But the truth is that, you know, it's become a term that, and I think the better way to think of it is financial continuity, right? Like, how do we ensure financial continuity and financial security for the people that we love, right? That to me is what we should be worried about. You know, how we divvy up our assets. I mean, I've yet to meet the person who was very concerned about that, but they are usually very concerned of how do I make sure that my spouse is taken care of, you know, especially if one spouse makes all the financial decisions and the other one, you know, kind of goes along for the ride. What do we do to ensure that they can take over those finances and that they're not left in ruin, right? That's question number one. And I think that before you even get to wills and trusts and, you know, all those kind of vehicles, let's talk about that. Let's talk about the financial continuity plan.
Everyone, we're talking about estate planning and trust. So with that regard, so tell me why it's important for individuals, regardless of their wealth, to have a financial continuity plan or estate plan.
So what you want to know is, you know, and I'm speaking for myself, and I think the vast majority of people who I meet, you know, this is kind of a reflection of how they feel. But their biggest concern is, will their loved ones be taken care of when they're gone, right? That is what they're concerned about. And what that means to them usually is they want to know that their bills are going to be paid for. They want to know that their loved one isn't going to run out of money. They want to know that their loved one knows where all their money is, right? And that their loved one feels, you know, safe in the fact that if their spouse dropped dead tomorrow, that they would be taken care of, that they wouldn't be left in financial ruin or in chaos. And to me and to the people I talk about, that's, you know, once they get past the idea of, do I have enough money to retire? That's their next big burning question. And sometimes it's reverse, right? That's their big burning question that leads them to then the question of how much money can I retire on? And I think we need to come up with a plan that gives that financial continuity, that makes us feel confident that we have a plan, because until we feel confident with that plan, we're not going to be able to enjoy anything in life, because every bit of enjoyment is going to be combined with this bitter pill of, but this can be all gone tomorrow. But I won't know what to do if my loved one got hit by a bus, right?
Wow. And I had that visual in my mind. Thanks a lot, Label. So I'm curious. So what is there a fundamental financial continuity plan? What do you need to have an effective estate plan?
So I think number one is you need to have a document or a central repository, something that both spouses can access, that shows just a list of like, what are all the accounts that we have, who are they with, and how do we access them, right? You need to know what your financial standing is. You need to know where those resources are. I think that's step number one. Step number two is you want to make sure that in the event of one spouse passing, that the surviving spouse will be able to access all of that money, right? And that they know what to do in order to access that money. So with a bank account, that means, you know, having a joint bank account. Or if you have separate bank accounts, it means listing each other as the pay on death or transfer on death, so that that person can then walk into the bank and say, my spouse had an account, I was listed on the account, what do I need to do to get access to it, right? And usually that process can happen pretty quickly. So that there isn't that disruption of, well, how do I pay for, you know, my gas and electric? How do I pay the car payments? How do I pay rent or mortgage? You want to know that they have those resources available to them. So joint account, pay on death, right? That's number one. And number two is you got to list out what your expenses are, right? There needs to be, you know, you both need to be on the same page as that, but it's, you know, when my dad died, we were piecing together so much stuff because, you know, he had married his wife, you know, just a few years prior. they both, you know, they were both in their 60s at the time. And it was, you know, when you get remarried at 60 in your 60s, you kind of have a life, right? And
right.
You have your own ways of doing things. And they never really got to the point of merging their finances because it was such a new relationship. And then they were, you know, in the battling cancer mode. And so having that document and outlining it and making sure that there's somebody who knows and can make sure that those things, those essentials are taken care of instead of piecing it together when you're in the least bit of mind, frame of mind to deal with it is critically important, I think, right?
Sounds like a WPA, a written plan of action. So where can we get a written plan of action or a template to list all these account numbers and passwords? That's what I think, where I think you're going with this. So that anyone can have access to it, who should have access to it.
Yeah. So you can go on our website. We've got a free guide called the 5-Minute Estate Plan. I recommend that everyone start there. At the end of that guide, you'll also see it. There's a list of resources of other websites that will help you guide you through that process. There's, you can just Google Memorial Plan. There's a whole lot of them out there. You can know that freewill.com has a great resources. But essentially you just want to start listing it out, right? Is, you know, what accounts do I have? How do I access them? Usernames and passwords. Who are the important people in our life that we need to, you know, contact? And then you get into the non-financial stuff of, you know, how do we want to be buried? What do we want our end of days to be like? And we need to answer those questions because, you know, like my dad, it was the day he died that he happened to be lucid. And I asked him, you know, do you have any thoughts of where you want to be buried? And if I didn't happen to be there in those 5 minutes when he was lucid and I asked him that question and we had a conversation about it, we would have never known. And that's something that, like, you know, I don't think any of us, you know, would have felt the same about burying him without knowing what his wishes were. And so getting that clarity and making sure that, you know, your loved ones know what you want is important. It's very important. And we just, you know, we like to not think about these things, but just, you know, do it once and then you can forget about it.
It's done. So is this also, I don't mean to be morbid, you use the analogy of being hit by a bus, so pardon me. So is this also where you list whom you don't want assets to go to as well?
Well, ideally, your, you know, asset transfer plan is independent of this document, right? Because ideally, you'll have set up all your assets to transfer on death to the people you want. And that should be done really at the time that the account is opened. And if your financial advisor hasn't walked you through that process, then that's something you should absolutely do. And it's something that, like, you know, my day job is chief technology officer for a fintech firm. And we have that built into our software, whether the advisors like it or not. We ask them that question of who do you want to be the beneficiaries of these accounts? You definitely want to get that set up. You want to make sure that as much of your assets as possible transfer prior, you know, based on agreements prior to death. So it's not based on your will or your trust or whatever that you set up. It's based on those other documents, so you don't have to worry about it.
So it sounds like, and correct, I'm sure you will correct me if I'm wrong. So is how you own your assets more important label than your will?
100%. If you own your assets properly, then your will kind of becomes irrelevant, right? Your will just talk about your, you know, material possessions, your non-financial possessions. So things like, you know, the stuff in your home, right? Which ideally, if you've got a surviving spouse, it all goes to them, right? But then you can say, okay, if neither of us survived, right, we both got hit by a bus at the same time, then I want it to go to so-and-so. Or more likely, you're going to say, please sell everything except for XYZ, which I want to go to, you know, this kid or that kid or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and let's be honest, right? At the point that we are no longer around to dictate what happens to our stuff, right? No matter how much we put into these documents, it's not going to enforce anything that's going to happen. Because ultimately, right? It's going to be up to whoever we list as the executor or whoever knows about this will or whoever actually cares enough about it to take action. And they're going to be the ones who make those decisions. So unless someone feels very strongly and is like, no, I'm going to sue because, you know, daddy said I get this, right? The document doesn't really mean anything. It just gives legal authority to sell the thing so that when they go to sell your house or your car or whatever, right, they can transfer the title, that the DMV will allow them to do it or the state will allow them to register it. That's all the will does, is it gives them that authority. But what they're doing with that authority, you got to trust them that they're doing what you want.
Interesting. We're just about out of time. Last time when we were together, you mentioned the three different major types of trust. One that if you expect that you might be sued, that type of trust, an irrevocable trust, and a testamentary trust. So I'm gathering from the conversations we've had the last couple of weeks that people should have trust, number one, a will secondarily.
Well, I think that you should have neither. Well, I think you should have a will just to outline your wishes. I think that trust only makes sense if you have specific needs after death. You know, so let's say you have a mixed marriage, you know, where you've got, you know, kids, a blended marriage, right, where you have kids from two different marriages. So maybe a trust would make sense in that scenario where you're going to say, okay, well, the assets while my wife's still alive, she can use it for all the kids. But I want, you know, this money, I want to reserve some money to pay for colleges for my biological kids versus hers, something like that. Or if you have a spouse who, you know, doesn't know how to spend their money, right, they're not money conscious. So then maybe you'll put it in a trust and say, well, I want to make sure that it's managed in a certain way and that they can't, you know, it's called a spendthrift trust, right? Make sure that they can't spend the principal down too much. So you might do something like that. Or if you have a kid with disabilities, right, that's another reason to do it. But in trust, generally, unless you have a very specific purpose for it, or you have complicated estate planning needs, right, like lots of kids and grandkids, then I don't recommend having a trust.
I think I asked the question in reverse, but thank you for straightening that out. And if you like more information about what you've just heard today, you can go to yieldsforyou.com. And you have the 5-minute estate planning guide there. And is that free of charge?
Yep. Yeah. All our resources on our website, almost all of them are free of charge. We've got a few classes. We do have a class on estate planning. I think it's like for $20 or something.
Okay. Well, Lima, that's all the time we've got for today. Thank you for enlightening us. And I think lives are going to be better as a result. And here's your personal invitation to join us next week when we talk about living wills and how to ensure that you're taken care of in a way that you want when that time comes. We look forward to hearing from you again next week. Label's website is Yields for You. That's yieldsforyou.com. Yields, the number 4, the letter U.com. I'm Freddie Bell, and more New Beginnings is straight ahead. How about if we give you news from the lighter side? A bear appears to have played a role in a crash in Dinwiddie County, Virginia. Virginia State Police say two SUVs collided on I-85. The driver of one of the SUVs apparently saw a bear crossing the road and hit the brakes to avoid it. Another SUV then rear-ended the first one. Troopers say the bear wasn't hit and no one was hurt. A Seminole County, Florida man's dog is recovering after going face-to-face with a 12-foot alligator. The man says he and his girlfriend were walking their dog along Econ River when an alligator grabbed the pup. The man reportedly jumped on top of the gator and was able to free his dog. Florida wildlife officials eventually captured the reptile. The city is warning pet owners to avoid walking their pets near any bodies of water, especially during alligator mating season. And here are 4 things that you may not have known yesterday. It's time to get a little smarter. Number 1, when studying photos taken at the deepest point in the ocean, 36,000 feet, researchers discovered a plastic bag. Number 2, Norway once knighted a penguin. Number 3, the Pony Express was only in operation for 1.5 years before the Transcontinental Telegraph made it obsolete. And finally, number 4, a group of flamingos is called a flamboyance. On the lighter side this week, and I'm Freddie Bell.
And now, our supporting partner, AARP in the Twin Cities.
Hi, everyone. I'm Freddie Bell. Thank you for joining us this weekend on New Beginnings. And now we turn to Kathy McClear, the state director for AARP Minnesota. And you've got an exciting outdoor event happening right in the heart of St. Paul. Hello and welcome.
Hi, Freddie. Thanks for having me again.
It's our pleasure. So what's going on in St. Paul at the Halleck Hugh Brown Community Center?
Yeah, well, Freddie, we've talked before on this program about the important efforts to really address health disparities. We firmly believe that your ability to live a healthy lifestyle should not be dictated by your zip code or where you live. And so one of the ways that AARP has worked to address that is through our Fit Lot, our outdoor fitness park, sponsored by AARP and presented by Fit Lot. It's a big mouthful. But really what this is, it's at the Halleck Hugh Brown Community Center, right at the corner of Marshall and McCubbin. It was one of 53 outdoor parks that AARP sponsored and provided nationwide. So every state has one. We're really excited that St. Paul has the one for Minnesota. And this is exercise equipment that can be adapted to meet a wide variety of fitness levels. There's ample space for group exercises. You know, when you're there, they have QR codes on all of the machines. So if you're not quite sure how to use one of the machines, it'll teach you how to do it. And if you have resistance bands, you can also use resistance bands with the equipment to make your workout just a little bit tougher, get a little more extra out of that that workout.
Wow. How long was it, a year ago that you celebrated the grand opening of FitLot?
Yes, it was built during the pandemic, and we finally had our grand opening last year. Mm-hmm. And we are so excited to be continuing to work with the St. Paul Parks Department, who has certified exercise instructors who lead classes at the FitLot. And we want folks to join us to check it out. This is open to the community. You know, it's not like a regular gym where you have to have a membership. It's just there for use by the public. And so we hope folks will join us August 1st from 10 to 11, right there outside the Halleck Hugh Brown Community Center, to just take a look. Give all of those machines a test spin. Work with some of the exercise coaches to learn how to use them a little bit better. And just see what the FitLot has to offer you. And maybe you'd like to build it into your workout routine.
It's amazing that AARP addresses itself to a wide range of community concerns. And this seems to be really high on the list when you're talking about healthy families, healthy communities. This certainly fits the bill.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's the Halleck Hugh Brown Community Center is right there. You know, there's a lot of kids around there. And so when I've been by, I see a lot of young people using it. But we've also heard stories of folks who, you know, walk in that community or they run in that community and they use it as a destination. So they'll run to the Fit Lot and then they'll get their workout in and then they'll run home. And this is all part of our commitment to build stronger communities, communities that are more livable for all ages, making those communities age friendly. And we know that staying strong and healthy really helps add just vitality and longevity to your life. And so our FitLot is part of that commitment. And we do hope that folks will come out, explore, and see what it's all about.
And you've got a very special event August 1st.
We do. August 1st from 10 to 11, we'll have a class. We'll have additional giveaways. And if you want to learn more, please visit aarp.org/MN.
Thanks, Kathy. And you're listening to New Beginnings. So we're talking with John Schwartz, the president and founder of the Center for Combating Financial Elder Abuse, and you've got some great relationships in your work to fight elder abuse. Talk about those, please.
Hey, thank you very much, Freddie, and thank you for having me here. So our Center for Combating Elder Financial Abuse has been fortunate enough to be working with two entities within the state of Pennsylvania. They are the Pennsylvania Department of Military and Veterans Affairs, as well as Westchester University outside of Philadelphia. So we formed these relationships, and we've been able to work together to increase awareness on pension poaching. So a little bit of background on this, Freddie. The Pennsylvania Attorney General last year put out a brochure on pension poaching, Know Your Rights. So that's a great lead that Pennsylvania Attorney General Michelle Henry is taking to protect the veterans within Pennsylvania. Coupled with that, Pennsylvania Department of Military and Veterans Affairs has also conducted a pension poaching awareness campaign both last year and this year. And we've been fortunate enough to work with them and put their awareness information on our website. And we're very proud and very happy to do that. And then finally, Freddie, our center has also been able to work with Westchester University, again, outside of Philadelphia, on their criminal justice program. And this year we have four interns that have concentrated on pension poaching and studying it and developing possible solutions. So what we see in Pennsylvania is great work, not only from the Attorney General's office, but also Pennsylvania Department of Military Veterans Affairs, and then finally Westchester University. And it takes a team effort like this, Freddie, to do a proper job in protecting the military veterans.
So do you see this replicated? Is it your hope that others, attorneys generals, will do the same as you've seen happen in Philadelphia and with the university?
Yes, absolutely, Freddie. It would be great to see other states take similar actions. And I don't know if they are or not. If there's other states out there that are doing equally a great job as Pennsylvania, I'm sure there are. We just haven't seen it yet. But my hope is that they will continue pushing forward, because this is a financial crime, Freddie, that doesn't receive a lot of attention. And because of that, my fear is there's a lot of military veterans that are losing their military pensions. Like we talked about earlier was Scott Cohen, who was able to place 13,000 veterans in exploitative loans. I mean, we got to stop it, Freddie. That's the bottom line.
So what's one thing we can do this weekend to help stop it on our own, John?
Freddie, take a look at our website and go to our resources. And in that resources, I have a couple of articles on pension poaching. One of them from Bloomberg Magazine from November 2021. But take a look at these articles, or simply do a Google search on pension poaching, and the articles will pop up. Also, Military Times, as well as United States Department of Veterans Affairs, they also have information now. So take 15, 20 minutes. Take a look at it, and if there is an elderly veteran in your life, try to share this information with them.
All right. And your website once more, John?
Hey, thank you. It's endefa.org.
And you're listening to New Beginnings. Thank you for listening to New Beginnings, and it happened this week in 1829. William Burt received a patent for the typographer, which was a forerunner of, yes, the typewriter. In 1885, former President Ulysses S. Grant died of throat cancer. He was just 63. In 1903, the Ford Motor Company completed the sale of its first automobile. It was a Model A designed and manufactured by Michigan machinist Henry Ford. In 1962, the Telstar communication satellite sent the first live television broadcast from the United States to Europe. In 1992, while filming a helicopter stunt for Twilight Zone, the movie, the helicopter crashes and kills Vic Morrow and two illegally employed children. Producer John Landis, associate producer George Folsey Jr., as well as a production manager, pilot, and explosive specialist, were tried and acquitted on charges of manslaughter. And in 1984, Miss America Vanessa Williams relinquished her title at the request of pageant officials. She turned in her crown just days after nude pictures of her turned up in Penthouse magazine. She's gone on to have a wonderful career in music and in television. It happened this week, and I'm Freddie Bell. As New Beginnings continues, we now take you to the spirituality portion of our program, where we introduce the senior minister of Unity South Twin Cities, the Reverend James Stacy. We now join Reverend Stacy with a program already in progress.
Oh. When I was graduating from high school, like our friend Jana Christensen, I needed a suit, and I went out, and of course, I picked out the more expensive suits, and I found one, and Dad said, well, let's get that. And I said, oh, Dad, it's expensive. It's too expensive for me. And I'll never forget his response. Son, any suit in this world that I can afford, my son can afford. And he purchased that beautiful suit. I wore it for many years. Wouldn't fit anymore. But it sounded early on like a unity principle before I knew what a unity principle or even what unity was. And that is to realize we're all children of a prodigious Father. Whatever source can provide, His creation deserves, can receive. That's how my father taught me, not unity as I teach it, but he taught me principles of life. He taught me promises should be fulfilled. If the source is great and wealthy gifts can be provided for those who ask. Whatever I can afford, my children can afford. Because I did have friends, and a lot of my friends in school came from extremely wealthy families, like the Halls of Hallmark. But I noticed some of them would have lesser things and would make comments when they saw something beautiful in a store. Oh, that's too good for me. That's too good for me. Where in the fact their parents were exceedingly wealthy. Well, we all make our own decisions. We all parent as we feel we are guided. But the essential idea that Jesus tried to get across in the idea of this prodigal son is that our prodigious Father will always welcome us home, will always provide new good, will always give us shelter. I like to think it's why Unity South has that motto out on the sign. The prodigious Father kind of teaches us of that ideal that Unity South is embracing, loving, empowering. That our community is like that prodigious, generous place. Where people may enter these doors, they know that they'll be embraced and welcomed to start. Then they'll be loved and made part of our family. And finally, they'll be empowered because we have faith in them. And we continually remind them of what they're capable of. And like my father showed me, we won't do it for them. We cannot heal each individual, but we can teach them about the potential of healing within them. We cannot make them feel like they belong to our community. But we can do our part and open the doors. Be welcoming, encouraging, not ignoring, really welcoming them. And we can empower them by showing our faith in anyone who comes into this circle. We believe in you. We know the power within you. And we will know that power and be faithful to it, especially when, like that prodigal son, you may have doubts and fears and have any sense of worthlessness or that you do not deserve the best that life can provide. So invite us for a moment to turn to the silence, to enter what we call silent unity. That is when we come together holding and affirming an idea. Not each of you alone, but as a community. I invite you to close your eyes if you choose. Become aware of your breath. Take a deep breath just to remember, wow, your connection with life. It's in every breath. It's in every pulse of your heart. You're one with the infinite, with the power that brought you into this world and created all good things. Spirit of wisdom, help us to remember our fathers with a devoted love for the guidance and provision they brought into our lives. We remember clearly and with focus all the human qualities they demonstrated for our welfare. Now, being honest with ourselves, if any of our expectations were not met, we go the extra mile. We become prodigious. We release in forgiveness now any resentment about in any way that our Father did not meet our needs, our expectations. We allow our fathers to live their lives in a manner in which they can progress on their unique spiritual path.
You just heard a message coming from the Reverend James Stacy, the Senior Minister of Unity South in the Twin Cities. More information is found at their website at unitysouth.org. Now it's time for Words to the Wise. I'm featuring excerpts from my brand new book entitled Outburst, and today we're embracing the power of remembering the good times. Today I'm sharing a story about the relationship with my older brother John and the magical journey down memory lane that unfolds whenever we reconnect. John, who is about 18 months older than me, still resides in our hometown in Missouri. Whenever he calls, he greets me with enthusiasm, saying, "Hi, this is your big brother, John." It's a familiar phrase that immediately brings a smile to my face and sets the stage for a delightful journey into our shared past, particularly our preteen years. During our conversation, John often poses a question, asking if I remember specific conversations from our youth. More often than not, I admit that I don't recall those particular moments simply because I relish the opportunity to hear him retell the stories. His voice becomes a time machine, transporting me back to the house we grew up in. Suddenly, I find myself standing in our backyard, where we spent countless hours playing baseball and creating lifelong memories. John's voice guides me through the recollection of significant events like the birth of our younger brother, Kevin, and the eventual heartbreak of his untimely passing. those memories come alive once again, thriving within me. In those moments, I'm granted relief from the complexities of the present day. Time seems to stand still as I immerse myself in the nostalgia and reconnect with the innocence and the joy of our shared past. Remembering the good times is a powerful reminder of the depth and the beauty of our relationships. It allows us to appreciate the bonds we have with our loved ones and cherish the experiences that have shaped us into who we are today. Through these cherished memories, we find solace, comfort, and a renewed sense of connection. So let's heed the words of the wise. Remember the good times. Embrace the opportunity to dive into the stories of our past and relish the joy and laughter they bring. Let's honor the moments that have made us who we are and find solace in the sweet embrace of nostalgia. For more stories like these, stay connected with me through FreddieBell.com and let's celebrate the power of remembrance and create a future filled with cherished memories and shared experiences. That's our show, and thanks to our special guests for stopping by and sharing information that we hope can change lives. If you missed any of today's show, you can subscribe to our podcast or just Google Freddie Bell or stop by my website of the same name. Thanks for listening, and remember that each day is a chance for a new beginning. See you next week.